everybody. I'm Clayton Smith, and every week I tell a real ghost story from real history to my real friend, Patrick Dean, who doesn't take it real seriously. End of podcast.
Yeah.
How's your week going?
This current week?
Well, I mean, since like the last 7 days.
The last 7 days haven't, not great. I mean, I wouldn't say great.
No, what happened?
Oh, you know, it was kind of interesting what happened over last week. You know, yeah. it was like I went to a restaurant with a bunch of people and the waiter's like, oh, hey, what would you like? And I was like, oh, I would like Cobb salad. Sounds good, right?
You order, that's your order?
Okay. I don't even know what's in a Cobb salad. It sounds fancy.
I think just a big cob of corn.
And breadsticks. Yeah, and breadsticks. And then the next person next to me said, you know what? You know what I haven't had in a few years? A shit sandwich. And the waiter was like, oh, a shit sandwich. Very good, sir. Absolutely. And the guy's wife is like, oh, now, you remember 4 years ago, you didn't like the shit sandwich. And he's like, but you know what? I think this time I'm going to like the shit sandwich. I really do. And then someone else at the table is like, yeah, I'll get a shit sandwich too. Why not? And the waiter's like, you know what? If you all order shit sandwiches, it's on the house. And everybody's like, yeah, shit sandwiches. And I'm like, fuck, I just wanted a Cobb salad. So that was my week.
Yeah. One guy was like, maybe I'll have the mutton, but I've had that for the last few years. So I think that's...
I've grown too strong and healthy on the mutton. Back to shit sandwiches. Back to shit
sandwich. Just to even myself out a little bit.
Oh, my God. So, anyway, we'll just see what the next 4 years of living off shit sandwiches is like.
Yeah, I was going to say, the cool part about that is they end up ordering for the table.
Mm-hmm. At that Whoever orders more shit sandwiches gets to decide for everybody. So,
It's a neat system.
That it was a nice dinner. I'm glad I went.
Yeah. Yeah. Now, it's still going on.
It's been going on for a long time. Mm-hmm.
Well, hey everyone, it's the holiday season.
Please don't go right into the sponsor read. At least don't send David like everything up to this point.
It's okay. I think David sense is coming, and we are not this week sponsored by David's Fine Company. This is an internal ad read. And I don't know where else to put it. So it's the holiday season, friends, and you're probably looking for the perfect gift to give that special someone in your life who is despondent. And, you know, you could, here's what I'll say. You could do worse by giving them something that will cheer them up for super cheap.
Mm-hmm.
And if that sounds like it's right up your alley and right up your gift receiver's alley, that's not what people are
you're
called.
You're gifty. Is it? You're gifty. You're a gifter.
I was going to say gifty. That feels, is that right? Okay. Yeah.
I'm going to call it that.
If your gifty is into it, then you can do worse than getting them a free month subscription to Ghost Plus. And you could even really, and honestly, once you do it, you could keep going as long as you do 2 months, 3 months.
Kind of a shitty gift to give them a free one, you know. You sign up for the whole year.
I think, yeah. Well, yeah. I mean, if you think about it in those terms, all gifts are free.
Well.
So I'm not sure that lines up. but you can gift subscriptions for Ghost Plus, and it's if you want to do 1 month, it's $5.99. I don't even know what we charge.
Yeah,
should be $1,000, but I think it's just $5.99. That's crazy. And they'll get all the access to everything we've got there so far and everything we put out this month. If you want to do that, you can go to isthisaghost.supercast.com and just, you know, buy the person that you either love or want to annoy a whole lot of at least a 1 month or more gift subscription to Ghost Plus. It's super fun. We have a good time over there. And once we've come to grips with how bad we're feeling about the world and life and the people around us, we will come right back to making some, what is probably going to be some pretty funny content. Patrick, how many subscriptions to Ghost Plus are you buying for the people on your list?
Well, I have three daughters, so they each get one. All, right?
Yeah,
obviously. Uh-huh. In case they all want to listen to it simultaneously, I don't
like in intense stereo surround sound,
right? And then there's my my maternal grandmother. Yep. And that might be it for this year. Everybody else is politely declined. So
that's weird. Yeah, well. So they got it. They got it last year. All right, that's fine. Pretty good. Let's see what else. The ad read I should have done to be a little bridge was inspired by the moment in which we currently find ourselves. We do have some new merch up on the Is This a Ghost store, and it is an illustration of a skeleton being cask of amontillado'd, and it says "Brick me up until it's over." and that is for sale. It's a t-shirt. We're gonna put on some other stuff too. Mm-hmm. And that just felt like an important message to get out there.
If you'd like, you can even fuck are you guys fighting over it there?
Those cats, man.
Tooth and nail. If you'd like, the "Brick me up until it's over," you could sing it to the tune of Wham's "Wake Me Up."
I do that every time.
Yeah.
Brick me up until it's over. And you can make a whole song out of that if you want. Mm-hmm. We can't do that because we don't have the rights to the tune, but can do it.
And who's George Michael going to sue? He's like super dead.
Well, that's a great point. Who's the other? The other Wham is dead.
The other guy, yeah.
Longer, right?
Gotta be.
Not going to be sued by ghosts.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Well, I think that's all the housekeeping. Do you have any other kind of like cool anecdotes from the last few days or fun stories or funny comedy things?
No. No, 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 no.
Okay. Well, would you like to hear a ghost story?
Yes. Yes, 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 yes.
All right. Let's see if I can find the right button here. Oh, this just in. Before we get started, an exciting news story from the paranormal side of things. Paranormal psychologist Brian Sterling Veit has decided that intelligent paranormal entities may actually have a limited lifespan. That's right. An expert in ghosts has uncovered a startling truth, which is that ghosts themselves may be dying and do not live for longer than 100 years. Patrick, you're out in the field with doing interviews on the spot. Go ahead. What do you make of this story?
Down here in the field, it's going over like a lead balloon. I'll be honest. A lot of ghosts, weeping. A lot of them, throwing themselves in front of trains, obviously not doing much because of, the non-corporeal, state of their being, but, real low down here. Back to you.
I imagine. Thank you so much for your hard work down there. Now, as you know, Patrick, the second law of thermodynamics does tell us that energy tends to disperse and degrade over time. And what we've learned now is that that's happening to ghosts and that they cannot survive past about, and this is an estimate, about 100 years. Now, how do you think this accounts for all the ghosts that people claim are older than 100 years old down there in the field?
Going to have to go with ghost babies. Gonna have to go with babies of ghosts, talented Mr. Ripley-ing their parents and taking over their likenesses and or credit cards.
Absolutely horrifying news. Thank you, Patrick, for all your hard work. And back to the show. So I guess that's a new segment we'll do sometimes when there's really late-breaking ghost news. And I think we got a winner. Ghosts are dying, and we have to stop it.
Hmm.
So maybe the second thing we'll do for this holiday season is we'll start some sort of GoFundMe.
We could call ourselves Ghost Boosters.
All right, well, that's going to be a t-shirt. Hold on. Let me make sure I write this one down real clearly, because I think you got something. Ghost Boosters. And once again, tomorrow I will be so confused by why I wrote Ghost Boosters on this notepad. Oh man. All right. Well, that was, wow. What a surprise. That's real news that came down the pipeline today.
Hmm.
So, for more, go to news.
Yeah. Go talk to a ghost.
Yeah.
Yeah. Get out of your house. Go talk to a ghost.
They're everywhere. Go touch ghost.
Yeah.
All right. Maybe this button will work. Let's see.
Ding. Better. Ding.
Ding.
Dong.
All right. Now we're on track. Robert Randall Mackey was born on March 25th, 1948. excellent sneezing button pressing Patrick.
Oh man, I got everywhere over here, all over the washing machine. But the washing machine is currently broken, so this is kind of
so it will be there for a while.
Yeah. So baby boomer, first gen baby boomer. So it sounds like
first baby boomer ever. I think
wonderful.
This is number one.
That's great. Totally going to have a great life ahead of him.
And who do you think he voted for in this election? Because he's still alive.
Going to slam the door right behind himself.
So Robert goes by the name Bobby.
Mm-hmm. Bobby Mack.
Even as an adult now. Bobby mm-hmm. Mack. Bobby Mackey.
Bobby Mackey.
Now, Wikipedia calls him, quote, a traditional country music singer whose career has spanned 40 years.
Okay.
But Wikipedia also has a full list of his singles, and it includes the 1982 song Pepsi Man and no other songs.
I don't remember Pepsi Man. I mean, I was, you know, obviously I was very, very young, but I don't mm-hmm. remember Pepsi Man. Someone doesn't ring a bell.
I haven't listened to it yet. Mm-hmm. I do have it pulled up on Spotify, but I don't, now that I'm remembering this, I don't think you can hear it if I play it.
Yeah. We'd have the rights to it anyway, so it's not really.
That's true. We can't really do that. So, but a big hit, big deal, big song. Mm-hmm. It's got. Let me see how many streams here. 19,229
streams.
Pretty
good. Pretty good. Now, can you read off some of the lyrics to Pepsi Man for me? That's
unfortunately, I probably can. Let's see here. Find the lyrics. I can do it on the mobile. Where is it here? Go to album. No, I don't think so. But I am now listening to it, and it's. Okay. You find the lyrics?
I'm kind of trolling through a lot of lyrics. So, I don't know if you ever. Do you remember this from whenever the internet was very young and exciting? Lyrics websites were always like the number one place to get viruses from. I don't remember why that always was, but there's every single lyrics website was like, oh hey, it's lyrics.mx or whatever. You're like, yeah, sure, why not? I can click on that, and then all of a sudden your computer is just on fire. On your desk.
That's probably Metallica saying fuck you to all you people who are streaming our music and not looking at the liner notes because you didn't buy it. I can, you know what I can do? I can just play it on my end. You won't hear it, but I can just tell you the words as they come across. How's that sound?
Yeah, very advanced, very technological.
Okay, cool. Yeah, this is a real podcast. All right, here we go. Well, I rise at 5, just barely alive, and I put on my pretty blue suit. There's snow in the yard, and it's coming down hard. So I put on my warm black boots. Because nothing today is going to get in my way. Keep me from making my rounds. There's other possessions, something acquisitions. But this ain't the best that I've found. To be a Pepsi man. Keep bringing those bottles and cans. A Pepsi man. Doing whatever I can. Keep that Pepsi generation going strong.
Okay. I mean, that was... I don't really know what I was expecting.
No, but that was probably exactly right.
Maybe something a little bit more, I don't know, fantastical. This is pretty mundane.
That's gonna make a lot more sense. If we get a little bit more into his background. I will say, it's a little catchy.
Okay, fair enough.
It's a little catchy. It's catchier than I would like.
Yeah, the Coca-Cola people just shaking in their boots.
That's when they had to bring out Santa Claus. Bring out the big guns, everybody, or else Bobby Mackey is taking us down. Let's see. So Pepsi Man made it to number 57 on the U.S. country charts.
So just on the country charts, there are 56 other songs ahead of this one.
Now that doesn't sound... that doesn't sound very impressive, but I will just say, having listened to the song, Wow, 57, what an achievement. Good job, Bobby. Congratulations to you, sir.
I can't imagine what 56 songs could have been in front of this tremendous hymn.
This is going to be a little bonus episode where we go through the 56 songs ahead of this song on the 1982 country charts.
Conway Twitty, skip. Waylon Jennings, skip.
These fucking hacks. Bobby Mackey, what's this? Here... Here's a photo of one of his albums I thought you would like to see.
Okay.
That's Bobby.
Including Hero... Bobby Mackey. Including Hero Daddy. Now,
including the song Hero Daddy, yes.
Okay, all right. I just want to make sure it was the song Hero Daddy and not like you know, featuring Hero Daddy.
No, this is Hero Daddy is a song, and it's the, I would say it's the highlight of this record.
Okay, that's fair. That's fair. I don't know if like Hero Daddy was one of those 56 artists ahead of Bobby Mackey in the country music chart.
That's how he got there. But yeah, like wouldn't have been nowhere without Hero Daddy. Climbing
over the back of Hero Daddy.
You'll note the excellent perm.
Oh, fantastic perm.
Yeah. I mean, just perfectly framed face, perfectly framed by perm.
Mm-hmm. In the velvet jumpsuit. Gotta love that. Yeah.
The necklace is, the chain is a little small.
It is, yeah. Yeah.
It could be bigger. Mm-hmm. But the glasses are right. The mutton chops are solid, and no other notes other than the bigger chain, Bobby. So that's Bobby Mackey. He has 10 songs on Spotify as of right now.
Okay.
Pepsi Man is one of them,
obviously,
as we just heard. And Hero Daddy is not.
You know, the feature track
didn't quite pan out.
Yeah, well. Yeah.
He was a hero that nobody needed. Turns out. Let's see. So the Wikipedia page, which I mean, I spend a lot of time on this Wikipedia page. I will bet my children's life that Bobby himself has written it. But the Wikipedia page says, quote, his musical style can be described by his loyalty to Hank Williams, Merle Haggard, George Jones, Buck Owens, Conway Twitty, and Johnny Paycheck. And is the foundation for his musical success.
Interesting.
Success is his word. Yeah. Not mine.
Is there a hyperlink on success where you can like click through and see the number 57 on the charts for the 1 week? Or
man, I tried. As far as Spotify is concerned, if you like Bobby Mackey, you may also like Elmer Fuddpucker. Who I expected to be a you know, what's the
some sort of, you know, parody or satire.
Yeah, who's the
like a Weird Al or something?
Weird Al, yeah, but who's the the streak. Who did that? Ray Stevens.
Oh yeah, yeah.
Not Ray Charles. You know, famous parody like Ray Charles. Elmer
Fuddpucker in the style of Ray Charles. Tasteful.
Feels very Ray Stevens. But I was shocked to learn that no, that's earnest music.
Okay.
Not Ernest P. Worrell style music.
I was gonna say that.
I mean, like very real.
I wasn't thrown off. I would listen to it.
Elmer Fuddpucker. So he is in the realm of Elmer Fuddpucker. So, you know, he's a big deal.
Obviously, yeah. And how many number 57 hits did Elmer Fuddpucker have, I wonder?
Let's ask ChatGPT. How many country chart hits did Elmer Fuddpucker have, according to ChatGPT? That was a very short answer, actually. That's not good for Elmer. Let's see. Elmer Fuddpucker, the stage name of Hollis Champion.
He
was a country music comedian.
Oh.
He was a Ray Stevens.
I was right the first time.
Was a country music comedian known for his party albums, particularly those with trucker themes. While his album Damn DOT Volume 1 held the number one spot for 44 weeks on the Truckers Top 10 chart. There is no record of his songs charting on mainstream country music charts.
I did not realize those charts were so granular. I didn't.
Man. Hmm. Well, the song I listened to did not seem like a parody, but I guess it was. And it's, gosh, that's even worse for our friend Bobby. Because if you like this person who is trying to make serious country music, you might also like this total idiot.
Yeah, who is not doing any of this.
Oh man, I love how when your kids come down they walk so slowly as if that's the best way to not be detected in this medium. All right, so I don't know, I hope you're developing a kind of a sense of who Bobby Mackey might be.
Yeah,
right.
Yep I'm zeroing in.
Now you may or may not be surprised to learn I couldn't find a whole lot of detail actually about Bobby's history, but I do know that in 1978, at the age of 30 years old, he purchased a building in a town called Wilder, Kentucky, with the aim of turning it into a honky-tonk.
Oh, finally going to cash in on all that fame.
And he's going to do that by calling it Bobby Mackey's Music World.
Okay.
It's the Walt Disney of rural Kentucky music.
Where is this in Kentucky again?
We're going to get into that.
Okay.
It's a very important question for a lot of reasons, and we will address it shortly. If you go to Bobby Mackey's Music World today, which you can do, you will see a sign outside the front door that reads thus: "Warning to our patrons. This establishment is purported to be haunted.
Oh.
Management is not responsible and cannot be held liable for any actions of any ghosts/spirits on these premises."
It doesn't sound legally binding. Like, I don't have to sign something to go in, so it's not a contract. No, but it's like,
well, I'm glad you brought this up. So I used to work for Ticketmaster, obviously, and we would do like events with the NFL and the NHL and stuff. You can't have everyone sign a release. So what you would do is you would put a sign at the entrance that said, by entering, you give us your permission to use your photo for promotional purposes, whatever.
Right.
I think that's what's happening here.
Yeah.
You can come in if you want, just so you know.
Yeah, bring me training AI models on you as soon as you walk in here. So
absolutely. Now, Wilder, Kentucky, you asked where it was. I'll tell you, it sits at the confluence of the Ohio River and the Licking River.
How is that not a bigger metropolis? You know, I mean,
you've got the sexiest of all rivers there.
So, people of Pittsburgh, jealous.
This is the northern part of the state, very northern. It's very close to Cincinnati, actually.
Okay.
And I think actually my cousin lives very close to here, because I know he lives across the river from Cincinnati, and I looked, and this is basically, I don't know which town he's in, but this is a stone's throw from Rob.
It's a lick away.
It is a lick away. Now, a long time ago, like way, way back in the olden days, it was this area was mostly German farmers and like small town industry. A sleepy little place. But in January of 1896, that all changed. Because a 22-year-old woman from Indiana stepped off the train in Cincinnati. And her name was Pearl Bryan. Pearl was a music student.
Just anytime you pause like that, I'm like, oh fuck, is this another jazz person? I don't
is this a name I should know? Is this a name I'm gonna get yelled at social media for not knowing?
Is this woman either famously haunted or a poet? Because I can't help you with either of these things.
Is she a doll now? Because I don't know dolls. She was a music student and she had nice clothes, she had respectable airs about her.
Okay.
And she even was 5 months.
Even though she's in Cincinnati.
That's fine.
Even though she's in Cincinnati.
Yeah, well, she's from Indiana, so that's even more surprising.
Oh, okay.
So, but she steps off the train here, even though she is also 5 months pregnant.
Oh, okay. She didn't bring hubby with her?
We'll talk about the father.
Okay.
Pearl was in Cincinnati to get an abortion.
Oh, no.
Oh, you don't think that women should have abortion rights?
I think that they
interesting take.
I think that they should have them. I still think it doesn't sound like as fun as going to Music World.
Okay, but what you're forgetting is this is 1896.
So maybe this is as fun as going to Music World. I don't know.
Yeah, it's tough. So she is there for that reason. Now Pearl has taken the train to Cincy in order to meet her lover, whose name is Scott Jackson. And his roommate, Alonzo Walling.
Okay.
Right. So Scott Jackson is the father. Alonzo Walling, friend of the father. They convince Pearl to come to Cincinnati because these two, by the way, they are studying to be dentists.
Okay.
And they convince Pearl to come to Cincinnati because they say they know a doctor there who can perform this procedure. So Pearl makes the tough choice to do that. Now, during the trial, Jackson and Walling claimed they did.
You're jumping forward a little bit here.
A little bit.
Eventually, everyone here gets hauled in front of a judge. Just
Mm-hmm. And during that trial, Jackson and Walling will claim they did bring Pearl to a local doctor and that the doctor botched the procedure, leaving Pearl on the brink of death.
Ooh.
Now, some people.
I told you it wasn't going to be as fun as Music World.
I was pretty sure. Well, you have not. Yeah. Okay, but counterpoint, you've not been to Music World, so let's not jump to conclusions.
How many people leave Music World on the brink of death today? Not as
hard
many.
To say.
Yeah.
Some people claimed that the men had drugged Pearl, though, mm-hmm. Her fiancé and his roommate, and attempted to do the procedure themselves.
Oh.
The thought being, as dental students, they were thinking this would be an interesting way to practice some sort of medicine. Now, I don't know if they maybe didn't get to this part of the textbook yet, mm-hmm. but that's the kind of the opposite end of the body.
Yeah, these are either the most ambitious dental students ever. Or they have been going to the wrong classes this entire time.
It's not impossible.
Yeah. Why do they keep calling it obstetrics? I don't know. It must be another word for dentist.
So,
when are we going to get to the teeth? We're getting pretty deep here, and I don't really.
We got to hit teeth eventually. I mean, if we keep going, we're going to hit teeth. It's indisputable. During the trial, the prosecutors said that the men never meant for her to have an abortion at all, actually.
Okay.
And that the plan was always to kill her.
Oh, okay.
Either way, whatever happened, one thing we do know for sure is that Pearl Bryan was still alive when they cut off her head. Now, Sorry, well, I have more to.
I'm using my pause. Okay. I'm using my pause button here.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. Now, did they cut off the head to make sure she was dead, like the Patrick Dean method? You know.
It's a great question. Okay. And not surprising one coming from you. Mm-hmm. I will say, I hate saying this so many times in one episode. We'll get there.
Okay. Okay. My second question. Mm-hmm. Did they cut off her head because they hadn't yet done the dental exam? Is that...
That may be part of it.
You know what? The train leaves in like 5 minutes. We've got to go. There's no way we can do the dental exam.
So can we just go straight to the head?
There's no way we can do the dental exam in the next 5 minutes. Put it in your backpack and let's go.
We'll do it when we get there.
It's the last time I do homework on the train.
So what we're pretty sure about was that Pearl was heavily drugged, mm-hmm. Whether from a doctor who botched the procedure or from Jackson and Walling. But either way, at some point, Jackson and Walling obtained her, I guess.
Okay,
And then drove Pearl across the Ohio River and into the woods of northern Kentucky. They removed her head at the fifth vertebra, mm-hmm. and left her body there in the brush. The thought being that without a head, she couldn't be identified.
thank goodness we just finished dental forensics. I was waiting for this lesson.
With a good chapter to have read right before this moment.
Just imagine these two guys in dental forensics week 3, like make eye contact across the room.
Send her the train ticket now. We have everything we need. Which is, you know, at this point, actually, I guess if you're thinking of it from their perspective, a pretty good idea because like fingerprints, that technology hasn't been invented yet. Mm-hmm. People don't yet have fingerprints.
But they all have DNA dental prints, I guess. I don't really know.
Well, I think maybe. I mean, obviously, I don't know when dental records became a thing. But I think one of the ideas was like if you look at the person at the dead body, you could be like, "Hey, I know that person."
Oh yeah, but if they got no head, you're like, "I don't know."
This body
could be any of dozens of women I know.
Does it have breasts? I don't know. Well, I'm out because I looked at. That's all I know about women and bodies. It's 1898.
Oh God, she doesn't have a head.
Well, I've been staring at this for 5 minutes. I just realized. Oh no. So that's why they removed the head, but authorities did eventually figure out who she was because they tracked her shoes.
Oh, custom made. God, if only they'd waited till the next week in class.
the shoe removal part of dentistry was, they didn't quite make it that far. Whoops. So Jackson and Walling, they go to court, obviously. They are found guilty. They are sentenced to hang. Now, no one ever found Pearl's head. Mm-hmm. During the trial, well, I guess pre-trial, while being questioned individually, Jackson and Walling both accused each other of throwing her head into the Ohio River.
I mean, you're passing by anyway.
Classic prisoner's dilemma.
Absolutely. Though, yeah.
Right? So they both say they're now Jackson, however, also told some folks, before he was hanged, that they had actually dropped her head into an old well.
So mean. Like,
just
what if somebody's
in that for,
okay.
Go ahead.
No, I say, I mean, what if someone's, you know, continuing to use the well and they come out there for you know,
I wouldn't worry too much about that, Pat, because we'll the well in question
right now.
The well in question was not just any old well. This was a well located inside a nearby slaughterhouse. Great question. So,
great struggling question right there. Did the well come
first? I've anticipated
first
all your questions.
And they build up the slaughterhouse around it? Or do they build the slaughterhouse and they're like, God damn, I'm so thirsty after all this slaughtering. Just start digging, buddy.
Well, slaughtering is tough work, as we all know. But no, it was they were built kind of in tandem. The well was dug specifically to hold, quote, the blood, guts, and waste from the slaughtered animals.
Ah, the viscera. A viscera well.
This is a viscera well.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay. Fair enough. If you are looking to dispose of body parts, putting it into basically a renderings well, there are worse ideas. There are worse ideas.
We did go to that week of dental school.
Teach, what would you say if I had maybe several pounds of extra flesh after the dental examination? What would somebody do with something like this to get rid of it in a discreet manner? I'm listening.
Mm-hmm. Viscera well, son. the well was dug to, it was for things to go in, not for anything to consume to come out, which I assume smelled awesome. So this is a pretty good place to hide a head.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Even if like, you know, the head's down in there, you're like, I think these guys yeah. can just go.
Yeah. Well, this is part of the story. So the police, my next note here is police declined to investigate the slaughter well. Because yeah, so would I decline to explore the slaughter well. Absolutely not. And it didn't really matter for them because they knew who did it. They had ID'd the body from the shoes and everything. And like, you know, it's case closed. Like, it would be nice to know where the head is, but you don't need to know where the head is.
The family actually contacted me and said they do not wish to have closure. They were like,
so please don't close the book on this one. Now, one interesting thing about this well is that it hadn't actually been used in, at least in an industrial sense, in several years.
Okay.
Because the slaughterhouse has been non-operational for a while at this point. But because there is this empty slaughterhouse in the middle of fucking nowhere, and it's got its own viscera well, this became a really good place for the local satanic cult to engage in ritualistic sacrifice.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. It's made for them.
It is indeed. So this group moves in. They use a slaughterhouse for killing animals. There are always rumors, too, that they also killed some humans who would be like hitchhikers and you know, people who wouldn't be missed locally, I guess. Though I should say there's never any formal charges brought about humans, but the animals is kind of a well-known thing. And we don't know if Jackson or Walling was part of this satanic cult, but they obviously knew it existed. They knew about the well and that it was just chock-a-block with gore. It would be a good place to put a head. After the trial, Jackson and Walling cursed the slaughterhouse, and they vowed to return to haunt everyone involved in prosecuting the case.
Oh, Now, do you think you do that because you want like a stay of execution? Like, if you do this, I'm going to haunt you. And then the governor's like, we got to give it to him, guys. I'm sorry. I'm sorry. So scared.
Listen, I have a lot to live for. And better safe than sorry, huh? I would say it's not the worst path.
Yeah. I mean, if you don't have a whole lot of, you know, strings to pull at that point. So why not? May as well.
Yeah. Now, it wasn't too long after this that the folks decided to tear down the old slaughterhouse. No, thank you. And the lot sat empty for about 20 years until the 1920s, at which point a new building was erected on the property.
Ooh. Can I guess? Can I guess the purpose of this building?
Please do.
Okay. I'm going to guess whatever the polar opposite of slaughterhouse is, and that's going to be hospital? Say hospital.
Okay. Hey, good guess.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
Solid guess. Yep.
Am I right?
Let's see the next half of the sentence here. It served as a casino, nightclub, and speakeasy.
Never mind. It was on the same side of the coin as slaughterhouse.
It's a different kind of slaughterhouse. Yeah. Now, remember what you may have forgotten, Patrick, in your calculation is this is prohibition.
You're prohibition
times. Mm-hmm. And this lot is in the middle of, again, fucking nowhere in northern Kentucky. Mm-hmm. It's got its own blood well. It's perfect. It's got everything. This building has everything. Because they did not like block up the well. They didn't remove, I guess you don't remove a well. They didn't like fill in the well.
Right.
The well's still there. Mm-hmm. They build the new building around the well.
Okay. Yeah.
Because that's a feature, not a bug.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Well, and actually, and this is something that I was reading this and I forgot that I knew this. I have so much knowledge. Sometimes I forget I have some of it. But I've heard it before. So I think kind of a little known fact from American history is that this part of Kentucky, this northern Kentucky, actually, before Vegas was Vegas, northern Kentucky was what Vegas, like they were meant to be Vegas. Like it was a huge hotbed for casinos and nightclubs. And like it was on the trajectory to be Vegas. And like the plan was for that to be what Vegas now is.
Right. Right. And people disliked Kentucky so much that they were like, you know where we should build this instead? In the middle of the desert.
Well, <Let's-> actually, half of that is right. But like I looked up some extra facts for this because, again, I was like, I know this story somewhere. Sinatra used to perform in this area. Hmm. A lot. He would go to casinos. Mm-hmm. So did Jerry Lewis and Dean Martin as like when they were doing their duo act. Mm-hmm. It's quite likely that Northern Kentucky is where the Rat Pack actually like started. That might be where like Sinatra and Martin met and got it going. And it was great. And apparently though, it all went south when the mob, cause this was all run by the Cincinnati mob. Mm-hmm. It all went south when the mob tried to frame the sheriff, who was a man named George Ratterman, by doping him up and putting him in a hotel room with a prostitute. They were found out having done this, and the governor then declared a state of emergency in the county, raided all the casinos, and then the federal government gets involved, and a young U.S. Attorney General named Robert F. Kennedy steps in.
Oh.
And he says, any bears here? We're pretty hungry. We would love any bears, preferably already dead. Mm-hmm.
We are all out of whalehead meat.
Oh, man. So the good Bobby Kennedy steps in. And he apparently admired Ratterman, the sheriff, because he had been, the sheriff had been a Cleveland Browns football star. And Bobby was like, hell yeah, man. So RFK asked Congress to pass legislation that would enable the Justice Department to go after mobsters from Cincinnati operating in Newport, Kentucky, which is the nearest kind of big town.
Yeah.
It's not big, but, and they did. And so the mob was like, well, fuck this. This sucks. Yeah. And they went to Vegas specifically because the desert was in the middle of nowhere and that was no man's land.
They could see you coming from a mile away.
Yeah. They took the whole plan from Kentucky and they dropped it into the desert. And that's why we have Vegas. It's wild. And apparently the bulk of Mario Puzo's research for The Godfather, the book, not the movie, was he went to Kentucky and like was there for a long time. And he like the Kentucky casino racket is basically that's what he wrote about when he wrote about The Godfather.
Oh, wow.
But when he wrote The Godfather 2, they had to move it to Vegas because by that time Vegas was booming. Anyway, so there's a casino now in Kentucky over this murder well. Now, when Prohibition ends in 1933, a man named E.A. Buck Brady bought the club and renamed it the Primrose. Buck was an old bootlegger, and he fancied himself the next big thing in casinos, and actually did a pretty good job running it, and actually did probably too good of a job. It wasn't long before the Cincinnati mob took notice, and they thought, I don't know, maybe Buck's club should be our club.
Yeah.
So they tried to muscle their way in, but Buck refused to sell. And this went on for a while, and like, you know, yada, yada, yada. Eventually, Buck pulls a gun on a mobster named Red Masterson and was charged with attempted murder. And then he, quote, left the casino business.
Yeah, felony charges. That'll do it every time. That's that'll get me out of pretty much any business I'm in at the moment.
Except president.
Yeah, of course. Yeah, that one.
Yeah, yeah. That one, always good. Always good for a felon. The club is now under new ownership, and it's called the Latin Quarter. Sounds sure. Pretty sexy, I guess. No.
Which quarter?
Lower third. In the 1950s, the club owner's daughter, Joanna, fell in love with a singer named Robert Randall. Now, she and Robert Randall made the big love, and Joanna got the big pregnant. Now, she intended to run off with Robert, but her dad was like, no, absolutely not. And as a gentle reminder, Joanna's dad was in the Cincinnati mob.
So you kind of listen to what he has to say. Yeah.
Yeah. Would you like to guess what happened to the love interest here,
Patrick? I'm going to imagine he ended up in the viscera well, is my guess.
It's possible.
Half a dozen pieces. Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know the details, but he's definitely dead for sure. Big time murdered. Now, when Joanna finds out what had happened, she took her own life, and she did it in the basement of the casino.
Oh.
Maybe in the viscera well?
I don't know. At least like near the penny slots is what it sounds like.
I challenge you to think of a worse way to die than throwing yourself into a viscera well and drowning in it.
Oh, no, that's going to be it. I can't. Yeah.
That's number one for sure. all right. But the nightclub keeps going on. But it becomes a rough and tumble sort of place.
Yeah. It's not fun anymore. Too many people are killing themselves in the basement.
There's too many fucking dead bodies everywhere. Now, finally, to this point, there are so many fatal shootings at this bar that the police have no choice but to close it in 1978.
Oh.
If you're closing a rural Kentucky bar in 1978 because too many people are getting shot, that is a hell of a bar. Oh, man. Now, later that year, a young up-and-coming country and Western singer named Bobby Mackey bought that building, turned it into a country music hall, which we've already noted he called Bobby Mackey's Music World. Now, this is a lot of bad history for one place to kind of soak in. And Bobby Mackey's is packed to the absolute gills with ghosts. The club's manager said that on several occasions she has gone through the building to make sure everything is like off and shut down for the night. An hour later, she would find the bar lights on, the front doors open, and the jukebox playing the anniversary waltz, even though it was unplugged and also did not contain that song.
Uh, I thought I could trick it by filling this whole thing with Elmer Fudd Pucker records, but they got around it somehow.
Turns out he's not nearly as popular as I was led to believe by Spotify. So
he actually hand delivered all the records to me. I'm very confused, but
they're made out of like river mud. I don't know. It was really strange. I guess that should have been a sign, but I don't know. Guests also tend to see the ghost, to see a ghost in the big mirror in the main room. And the ghost of Joanna, who killed herself in the basement, she's apparently a pretty strong presence. Now in life, she would wear a perfume that smelled like roses. Sometimes patrons will still smell roses in the air for no reason.
Because this place smells so bad. Like I can tell.
This is not the place for a rose smell. Like that's going to be striking. It's got a viscera well in the basement. This place does not smell like roses. One club employee sometimes sees a dark and very angry man behind the bar. But then a spirit who calls herself Joanna will appear and she will talk to him and convince him to leave. And then she will leave as well. And she always leaves the scent of roses in her wake. Now, Bobby Mackey's wife was once in the basement when she smelled the scent of roses. But then she was grabbed around the waist, picked up, thrown down, and pushed up the stairs by a ghost screaming, "Get out! Get out!" A little bait and switch there. She described the ghost to some folks, and then he looked exactly like Alonzo Walling, one of the two men who murdered poor Pearl. You'll note, cursed the land forever.
And how many years had it been since Alonzo Walling had died?
Almost 100?
Almost 100. Well, so they shouldn't have to worry about him for very much longer.
No. That's good news. Hey, man, if you can stick it out just a little bit longer. let's see. Now Mackie's wife. She will not set foot in the club. I'm not going. One patron claimed to experience suffocating heat, a flying trash can, and a man with a handlebar mustache in the bathroom saying, "Die game, die game."
Well, that just sounds like a normal weekend in Logan Square right there.
Well, this... So I was reading this from the source I got this from, noted that, I guess pronounced differently, maybe like D gamma or whatever. This is Latin for dying well.
Oh, okay.
Now, I am pretty sure this is some fucking bootlegger from the casino days. Who just wants a die game, right? Like, this guy wants to play craps.
Yeah. I just got done watching Gladiator. I don't remember a whole lot of people with handlebar mustaches in there. So
No. Not a big choice. But to be fair, I have not yet watched Gladiator 2.
I don't think
it's out quite yet. So we'll reserve judgment.
Pedro Pascal's in it. He has had a handlebar mustache before.
If I see the daddy with a handlebar mustache in Gladiator 2, I'll be so excited. let's see, what else? A former caretaker of the building lived in an apartment upstairs for a while, and he claims that he was demonically possessed by a spirit from the club.
Oof.
Now, he received an exorcism that was from a local minister, and they performed the exorcism in the club.
Okay.
So he's fine. So it's all fine now.
I don't see a problem with that.
All gone. Did I tell you my sister's exorcism story?
She was having some back pain like that.
So exorcism is a cure for what ails you. That worked for this guy. So let's see, what else? Phantom footsteps can be heard going up and down the basement stairs, and the slaughterhouse well is still there today.
I can't believe the well is still there. Like, out of all this, you know. Well,
I mean, why not?
I mean, if you have to differentiate yourself, if you're in the real estate business, you know.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's like, there are probably a lot of honky tonks in Kentucky, but like, hey, does your honky tonk have a gore well? I don't think so. One problem with having the well there, I guess, if we're going to pick one, is that word on the street now is that the well has become a portal to hell.
Okay. I don't know.
Not great, but you could sell tickets.
It's all amenities. You know, in the real estate business, it's all amenities.
Absolutely. Yeah. They're going to put this place on Airbnb, and that list of amenities is getting real long. But they may be onto something. Actually, the wall inside the room with the hell well has these water stains that have gathered over time. Mm. And apparently those stains, each of those stains bears an uncanny resemblance to human faces.
Okay.
We're back to Jesus toast area.
Oil stain Mary.
Yep. Oh, I forgot about oil stain Mary.
Yeah.
Which overpass was that? That was,
it was in, that was also in Logan Square, actually.
Not Irving Park. What was the,
I think it was on
Fullerton.
Yeah, I think it was Fullerton under, maybe under 1994, something like that.
Did you ever stop and like get out and look at?
I did. I absolutely did.
Mm-hmm. I did. I would drive fast and see like the candles burning. I was like, I can't stop here for this. did it look? Was it?
It was.
Hey, was it Mary?
It. I mean, it was weeping, and so when I drank its tears, it tasted very oily. Mm-hmm. And then the city came by and they painted over it the next week, just like with the rat hole.
Just like a rat hole. They never let us have anything fun in Chicago. That's why I left, actually. I was like, look, rat hole is the last step. Can't do this. Oh, man. Okay, so where are we here? Human faces in the wall. Oh, and I will note, just for the sake of being a completionist, some club goers have apparently seen the headless ghost of Pearl Bryan. Mm-hmm. And when they are later shown photos of Pearl, they say, oh my God, that's her.
Wait, hang on.
Now, yes. Yeah, so I did hesitate to include this.
That rack, that's Pearl.
Yeah, I do think it's probably pretty hard to identify a ghost by a photo when you're looking at the head and there's no head.
Like, I don't think that's her. And then you like cover up the. Oh,
okay. No, well, no, that neckline is convincing. Those shoulders are slender. Mm-hmm. Interesting. I don't know. So I don't know. I feel like that undercuts some of the tension of the story, but I feel like it was important to include it. Mm-hmm. There have also been multiple psychics and exorcisms at the club, but the ghosts don't seem to mind, so they don't really leave. One possible reason that the exorcisms don't work is that it's a commonly held belief that spirits cannot cross a river, like a big body of water.
Mm-hmm. Yep. So where are they going to go?
Yeah, exactly. They're trapped there, basically. Mm-hmm. So the Licking River runs right by here. And so the theory is that this may be keeping the ghosts trapped. They would love to go. They hate exorcisms, mm-hmm. do not like it, would love to leave.
Mm-hmm. And then they carry them right back off the river and you're back in the gore well by sundown.
Yeah. Yeah. Makes it's sense. A bad, and honestly, like the victims here are the ghosts without question. Now in March of this year of 2024, Bobby Mackey's Music World, was demolished.
So
they tore the building down because they're building a new venue.
Okay.
On the exact same spot. Mm-hmm. They've had enough. They need to build a new building. For now, the Music World has been moved to a temporary location, a couple towns over, until construction is completed. Construction is taking a while though, because not only are they building a new building, but they are also, you'll be happy to know, preserving the well and the water stains that look like faces to make sure they remain part of the new Music World experience.
Oh my God.
And we so look forward to the resurrection of Bobby Mackey's Music World. And that is the chaotic story of Bobby Mackey's Music World in Northern Kentucky.
A lot going on there. Whole bunch.
It's quite a story. You know what? It was a lot of chaos right when I needed to be distracted by a lot of chaos, and I'm grateful. Thank you. Thank you, Barack, for sending me this story through your psychic abilities. We could go and check it out. Like I said, I have family there. Now, in the Cincinnati side, that's where my Uncle Mark lives. Mm-hmm. If you remember my Uncle Mark stories,
yes.
We're not going to stay there.
Okay, that's fair.
We don't. Especially in light of what's happened the last week, we're not going to stay that long. But we can hang out with my cousin Rob in Kentucky. We can go to Bobby Mackey's.
Bobby Mackey.
We could do all sorts of ghost hunting. I bet they would let us do a live show there.
I'm certain of it.
So I have no doubt. Any thoughts, any questions, any, you know, real takeaways from this?
No, looking forward next time I'm in Northern Kentucky, I will have something to keep me busy.
How often do you find yourself in Northern Kentucky?
Less and less.
Well, it's time to say that this is This a Ghost? It's a production of Smith Show Media. All the notes are taken by me, Clayton Smith. All the funny jokes were from Patrick Dean. Our audio editor is Jeremy Montoya. Our video editor is Jen Swanson. Our social media managers are Kai Valonis and Sam Murdoch. And we're so grateful to all of them for all their help. And we're grateful to you for listening. And if you think that it might be a good idea to buy Ghost Plus for the loved ones in your life or the enemies in your life who you want to punish, we don't care. We don't make a distinction either way. You can do that if you go check it out. So in the meantime, while you're considering that and while you're waiting for Christmas and while you're waiting for you know, your chance to stuff someone's stocking with the smooth, dulcet tones of Ghost Plus, I would say don't go to Northern Kentucky. Because just stay out of the hole. The whole area is just fucked. And don't go there. Because if you do, you might end up as the subject on next week's episode of Is This a Ghost?